Welcome to VS Voices. I'm Amanda Decadene. Quanta Chasing Horse is an Indigenous model. She's using her platform to champion Indigenous culture and climate justice. In this interview, we talk about growing up in a matriarchal family and how her advocacy led to a career in fashion. Quanta, I'm so pleased to meet you. Thank you for taking the time.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. I wanted to start our interview by talking about how you grew up because I watched this incredible documentary on you and I was so riveted. Your life just is so fascinating to me. You're a member of the Han Gwich'in tribe and you were raised in Fairbanks, Alaska, which is an area that's often referred to as ground zero for climate change. In interviews, you talk about growing up in a family of matriarchs, which was amazing to hear. Can you tell me exactly what that means for any listeners who maybe aren't sure?
Yeah. So I come from Alaska, as you just stated, and my people are the Han Gwich'in people. And we have, you know, for millennia been known to be land protectors and, you know, stewards of the land. And where I come from is very different from what I'm now walking into, I guess, you know, and my documentary is actually called Walking Two Worlds. But yeah, a lot of my work before modeling, before I entered the industry, was just advocacy work and doing a lot of environmental work, doing a lot of land protection work, and just awareness on different issues within the Native community, Native sovereignty, and all kinds of stuff. So I have always had this voice and this drive inside of me to just show up every day as a good person, as a better person as I grow. And I've just been very thankful to, you know, walk into this industry and have people really wanting to learn and understand. And I've had many amazing opportunities to work with brands that are willing to make changes, that are, you know, making changes already, and just want to amplify that by giving my voice and my existence space to take up that space, to show up and do my part. And so my work has been kind of all across the board, but who I am is the foundation of the values and the path that I walk as an Indigenous person in these spaces. I have to always show up in a good way because I know I'm representing not just myself, but I'm representing my community. And I've had amazing opportunities to do that and to show our resilience and to show, you know, how we can take up space and we can show up as ourselves and be proud of who we are and to be celebrated in that way and not be changed or modified in a way that this outside world perceives us as, you know, the stereotypes. And those are things that we're constantly undoing. And, you know, trying to teach people how every tribe, every peoples are different and we all come from, you know, different walks of life, but we do share very similar, if not the same, values.
Well, that was when I was listening to you speak, I was thinking these are lessons for everybody, right? You know?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the kind of messaging I've been trying to do through this, is just that, like, it's not just, you know, it doesn't just apply to us as Native or Indigenous people. It applies to everybody and it can benefit everybody.
Mm-hmm. What do you think are some of the strongest values that your mother and grandmother instilled in you as a young girl?
A lot of things, honestly, but a lot of what they repeated to me were things that, you know, we'd always be like, yeah, I know, or, you know, just kind of would brush off because you hear them repeat it. And when you're younger, you don't understand that those words, they seem so repetitive, or you're just like, whatever, I know, but there's so much to learn from them. And they always hold a lesson or always have some sort of advice in them. So for me, that was never forget who you are and where you come from. And my mom repeated that to me, and it got to a point where I would always, you know, leave the house and she'd be like, remember who you are and where you come from. And
I love that. A lot of moms are like, don't drink too much. Make sure you don't get into trouble. And your mom is like telling you, don't forget who you are and where you come from.
Yeah. And I think that's how I stayed out of trouble, actually, because, you know, I show up in a space and I would think, okay, how would I want to honor my people in showing up in this space? How would I want to be seen? How would I want to be perceived? And so it's not always about looking for, you know, validation or anything. It's really just how I feel good in making sure that when I show up in a space, that I show up in the right way and I come correct, you know, and that's the best way I can think about it. But it's okay to, like, you know, have fun. And as long as it stays professional and you're able to show up in a space and do your work in a good way and represent in a good way and, you know, make sure that people understand that you're not the stereotype and that, you know, we all have different, I guess, versions and visions for our own people and ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's just showing up in a good way. And even if I do want to have fun, I also want to make sure that, you know, when I'm having fun, I'm not doing it in a way where I can jeopardize things for myself. And so I just want to make sure that I always stay true to who I am as a person, but also stay true to who I am as an Indigenous person in terms of, like, you know, I hold myself at a higher standard where I make sure that I'm showing up and doing good work.
Where did you get such a sense of value for yourself? Because not everybody goes out into the world with such a strong sense of self. Where do you think that came from?
It was really just, you know, being taught by my mom and my grandma and all the women and matriarchs in my family. I've just had such great examples and really, really strong women to show me that they can do it all themselves. You know, they don't need anybody. They don't need anything. They will always make it for themselves. And, you know, I always saw that resilience and strength and power through them. And I learned everything from them. I mean, every single one of them plays a really, really very valid and strong role in all of our communities. I mean, my mom has played many roles, you know, in terms of, like, she was in law enforcement for our tribes and she protected our people and she's an advocate, you know, and she's been on the front lines for many different things. She's been constantly serving our people and all my aunties as well. I mean, they all, you know, work for Native nonprofits or they're professors at a college teaching tribal sovereignty. And, you know, they're always showing up and they're always doing such a great job at making sure that their work and their people, you know, are not just for nothing and that they put all of their heart and passion into it. And with that example, everything that I've done, you know, is with good intention and with love and with care. And especially my advocacy work, you know, I don't just do it just to do it. I don't just, you know, go out there and try to advocate to make myself look good. Or I've been doing it since I was a child. I grew into it. You know, I grew up in the movement. I was raised to have a voice.
Yes, it's not performative.
No, never. And yeah, it's a passion of mine. It's a passion. And it's not just something that I choose to do or want to have fun doing. It's a fire inside of me. And it's been there since I was a child. And, you know, when I first understood and learned who I am and how the world perceives me and how I have to face different challenges in my lifetime. So, you know, that's important, you know, is just having such strong people around you. And I really do believe in keeping your circle small in terms of, like, knowing how to protect your heart, your spirit, your power, your space. It's important to protect yourself so you can show up in a good way.
Yeah. And especially as you moved from Alaska to America, that must have been a significant culture shock, I would imagine. How was that for you?
It was definitely a huge culture shock because, you know, I'm still kind of getting used to everything. I grew up eating very traditional foods. So I grew up hunting and fishing in the woods. You know, my mom is a dog musher in the wintertime. That was our transportation. I grew up a very traditional lifestyle. And, you know, my mom being a single parent my whole life, she herself had to really, you know, she always went hunting. She knew how to hunt. She knew how to fish, all of those things, but she had to really learn how to do everything herself and with three kids. And so I've been hunting since I could walk, basically, or even before that, she would pack me out in her backpack and go hunting. So she always, you know, was a very traditional person and made sure that we understood who we are and where we come from. But she also made sure that we were taught these values and these cultures and traditions so that we can carry them on, but also so that we can show the world that, you know, our culture, our traditions, they're beautiful, and there's always a lesson to be learned, and there's always a reason for everything. And everything has such value, and we never separated ourselves from nature. I think that's the biggest lesson and when you're learning from Indigenous cultures, is that we have never separated ourselves from nature. Because, you know, if you really look at the statistics, 80% of the world's biodiversity is protected by Indigenous peoples, and Indigenous people only take up 5% of the world's population. And so, you know, that's a huge statistic, and that's, you know, a crazy number if you really think about it. And it's because we never separated ourselves from nature. We're always talking about, you know, and it sounds cheesy, but like being one with nature. But how I see it is we are nature. We are nature in itself, and we're a part of this life cycle. And we will always recognize that and see that, you know, our plants, our animals, the land is our relative, and we got to treat it that way. And so that's kind of what guides me through my journey and how my mom raised me.
I agree with you. I feel like so much of the issues that people experience are from not only their separation from self, but separation from nature.
Mm-hmm.
So how has it been for you living in a city? Los Angeles has more nature than many cities in America, but it is extremely different. How are you staying connected to yourself since you're living in an environment that's very different than what you're used to?
It can be challenging. You know, I've actually, you know, in my documentary, I kind of touch on how I've had a lot of anxiety, and I've always been diagnosed with severe anxiety and major depressive disorder and, you know, all the fun, non-fun mental health things. But, you know, when I moved away from home, it was a lot harder to face those challenges. Because I didn't have the outlets that I normally had. And that was, you know, my family, that was our culture, that was our songs, our traditional foods, all of those things, that's medicine for me.
The ritual.
Yes, that is medicine for me. And it's good medicine. And, you know, and I was just talking about, you know, living that traditional life and having traditional foods. I don't always have access to that, you know. And I don't always have access to everything that my people have back at home. And I talked about missing out, and that's one of my fears, is not being able to go back home and do these things, because in a few years, those things could be gone.
I noticed that actually when you were speaking about your anxiety about missing out, you were in your documentary. It was so beautiful and powerful and made me sad to see how, I don't want to say distraught, but you obviously felt very upset about missing your home and you're concerned that those things weren't going to be available to you. So how do you provide tools for yourself to ground who you are and to give yourself the nourishment? Because there's no, you can't compare, there's such different cultures. So I'm just curious, like, it must be very difficult. And how do you support yourself?
I thankfully have a very amazing family that, you know, does do all of those things. But what's amazing is that they always make sure that they always find a way to include me. And they always, you know, will send me packages of goodies from home. So like, I missed berry season and I missed hunting season. I've missed a lot of things since I moved and since I've been working. And that's fine, you know, you have to make sacrifices. But, you know, those things, it's what really keeps me grounded. And so when I do go home, you know, they always spoil me with moose meat or caribou meat or salmon or fish or berries. Or sometimes I'll get packages from my aunties where they'll send jars of fresh blueberry jam that they picked. And you know, all of the special things that make home home and feel like home, they will make sure that I get that here. But I also, I really do love outdoors. So any chance I get, I try to really go outside a lot. And I have a dog and we go on hikes and we play outside, and I try to stay busy, but I also try to make sure that I rest because, you know, busy life and, you know, make sure I'm resting, but also prioritizing things that keep me happy and healthy.
Yeah. I mean, you talked about having anxiety and mental health challenges. And, you know, I also understand that very well. And for me, the things that are self-soothing and are part of my self-care routine, when those get disrupted, it becomes much harder to manage those mental health challenges.
Mm-hmm. It really, really does. And I've really learned to kind of just take it day by day and move through the motions. I mean, you can't take anything too seriously. And I've had to learn to not take myself too seriously because, you know, there's so much beauty and joy and, you know, just amazing things in the world. And as long as, you know, of course, the horrific things, but we have to find the light in those dark moments because that's how you survive. You know, that's how you live on. That's how you grow. That's how you learn from each other. That's how you turn, you know, unfortunately, sad things to beautiful things, is when you can find the beauty in it and understanding that things happen for a reason. And I've had to really take the steps necessary to make sure that I'm taking care of myself. And, you know, of course, I have my bad days. Everyone has their bad days. But
of course,
again, I try not to take it too seriously. And I always try to find the beauty and the light in the darkness. And, you know, I really just try to surround myself with good people. And, you know, I do have amazing resources and I do have an amazing support system and an amazing community that I know I'm very, very well loved. So that's something that definitely helps, is, you know, having community and having amazing people around you to remind you that, you know, that they love you and that you're worth it and that everything. You know, for me too, I feel like I'm always having to deal with imposter syndrome where I'm like, do I deserve this? Do I, you know, or like I'll get invited to something really cool, or, you know, I've won a few awards, and every time I've won an award, I've always just, you know, felt like an imposter, like I didn't deserve it, or I'm not doing enough, or I need to do more. And I've had to just really tell myself that, you know, I'm doing enough and I'm going to obviously continue to do more. But not to be too hard on myself and to understand that I'm just taking life as it is and that's okay.
I mean, that's the only way to take it.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
So how would you say your life changed when social media allowed people to meet you? Because prior to that, you were living your life in Alaska. And then once social media introduced you to a larger audience of people, how did your life change at that point?
Oh man, it's really opened up a whole new world for me. I mean, I've learned so much. I've met so many different people from different walks of life. And, you know, I've gotten opportunities I've never even dreamed of, or that I've dreamed of, or I never even thought it would even come close to accomplishing. Or, you know, I've just had such amazing opportunities and so many dreams come true. And this world of social media really is, honestly, it's a whole other world. Like, it's a whole different thing than what I'm used to. And so when I started to make a little bit of a following through my advocacy work, I was very like, okay, I'm going to use my platform to continue to do good work. That was all I was trying to do, was just, you know, show up for my people and do good work and make sure that what I'm doing is in a good way, but right. You know, I need to make sure that what I'm doing is right and that I use it as a tool to spread awareness, to share information, and to also connect with people. And the more I've been able to connect with people and also humanize myself, because I feel like, you know, models and different people in the industry, celebrities, people with huge followings, like they forget that we're people too. And I really just try to humanize myself so people understand that I'm just a person taking life day by day and that I'm not perfect and I'm going to make mistakes, but I also am a very open-minded person, and I really, really do love seeing it also not just be used as a tool, but also a way to connect with people and, you know, share your life or not share your life, you know. Either way, I've just loved to use it to, you know, do good work, but see the world in a different way, I guess.
I love how you have brought impact into so many of your fashion opportunities. It seems like that is a win-win for you and for the brand that you're working with, because there are brands that just pay lip service to whatever initiative it is. And then there are brands who really genuinely do care about specific issues. And from what I can see, it's been lovely to see how much you have inspired the companies you're working with to give platform to the issues that are important to you.
That's like the biggest thing, is that I've been, you know, just dreaming of an opportunity where I can do both, you know, where I can show up and do good work, show up for my community, but also do good work in another whole other industry, you know. And to be able to do both and to be a model and to live my dream, but to also continue to spread that awareness and bring that work into the fashion world, that's just the best of both worlds.
It is.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful that I've gotten those opportunities, because it really is amazing to see this industry and these brands wanting to do better, to change, to really see that there's always room for improvement. I mean, always room for improvement. I feel like people get so caught up in thinking, oh, these brands think they're doing the right thing or whatever. Like, I feel like everyone knows that there's always room for improvement. And I think that's been kind of my thing, is opening up that conversation and sharing that space and helping encourage or inspire that change, and maybe even collaborating and working with them on how to create that change, or even, you know, directing them on how to make a shift, or even if they want to make a donation within their brand to, you know, donate to, you know, nonprofit organizations that are on the front lines doing good work. And so that's just been my thing, is opening up those conversations, getting that opportunity, and also hopefully getting other people open to working with these brands, open to seeing that, you know, I see a lot of activists, a lot of people just thinking, oh, well, they did this one bad thing and they like shame you for working with them, even though maybe they have apologized or they moved past it or they've, you know, done the right thing since then. It's like, you know, so much of the past is always held against you. And so I'm always just trying to also have that conversation with people that it's possible to change, that we need to change with it, that we need to encourage that change, that we need to accept that change and understand that, yes, mistakes are made, but it's possible to do better.
And when people genuinely and sincerely, from a place of authenticity, want to make positive change, me personally, I want to support that change. It's one of the main reasons why I chose to work with Victoria's Secret personally, because I saw genuine change across the entire company, from the leadership team, across the board, a genuine desire to make significant, impactful change. And I want to be a part of an organization and support any company that says, we want to do better and here's how we're going to do it. That to me is like, if we're holding everybody to every mistake, then how can we ever move forward?
Exactly. That's been my thing, is like, you know, a lot of people are always trying to shove a lot of things in my face of brands and their past. And I'm like, look, I think it's so important that we have these conversations. And yes, that unfortunately these things did happen and they did affect people. But we can't just hold on to those things, because no one's going to heal. This is about healing at this point. This is about doing the right thing and creating that space for people to heal, to understand that, yes, you know, some of these things may have harmed people, but it's our job and our responsibility, you know, if we have hurt somebody, to be a part of that healing process and, you know, doing the right thing.
That's right.
So that's just been a big conversation that I've been having. I mean, I'm not one to go back, you know, freaking do back and forth with people in comment sections, or I'm not one to really have arguments with people about stuff like that. Cause it's really just like, man, if you really want to hold on to those things, you can. I'm not going to fight you on it because I feel like there's a lot of people that aren't ready for that kind of change. You know, they ask for it and they want it, but some people are still so hurt that they're not ready for it to happen because they still want to, you know, be angry, which is fine. I've recognized that and it's valid, but, you know, in order for them to really heal and understand that we can't be so angry forever, that was the best way to move forward. I mean, how else are we going to grow? You know, that's how growth happens.
Well, being angry only hurts us in the end anyway, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about VS. What did you think when Victoria's Secret first reached out to you? What went through your mind?
Oh, man, I was a little bit nervous because as we were just talking about, you know, of course, there's a lot of like feelings and opinions surrounding Victoria's Secret and also some interesting facts. But I think for a while I was just kind of on pause for it. But once I really understood the project, once I really understood the changes that were being made, once I really understood where the brand was at, you know, I really wanted to get a feel of what was going on, or I just wanted to make sure that I was in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started to have those open conversations and, you know, once I started to really learn more about what the show was going to be like and what the brand was about and what it was looking like compared to what it used to look like, I was very actually impressed and actually kind of excited seeing that, like, look, this is what I'm talking about. Like, change is happening, change is possible, and it can be positive, you know? And I was really excited because I know that creatively, there's so much to explore in the world. And, you know, with this kind of opportunity with the show, I was so excited because I was like, man, I know this is going to open up opportunity for so much more, you know, in terms of like what VS used to be. I know this is going to be amazing. And it is.
It is, right? Yeah. It's incredible.
It really is.
What did you think when you first saw the film? Because I saw a trailer and I was blown away. I just was like, man, this is something else.
Yeah, I was definitely blown away too. I mean, I thought it was so cool. I thought it was so different. And I love that they, you know, explored that creative realm that I was just talking about. They really did go in different directions. And I thought it was so cool because, you know, I feel like a lot of people are kind of scared to do that or shy away from that. And they kind of want to stick to, you know, things that people are used to. But I really loved the idea of it all. And I loved the different messages with all of the visuals and how there was so much beauty and inclusivity. And, you know, it was so fun too. Like, it was almost like you just couldn't take your eyes off the screen because not only was there obviously beautiful women to look at, mm-hmm, and beautiful people to look at, but the visuals and the art of it was also within its own beauty. And it was so cool to see. And I loved being a part of it. I mean, I was in awe. I had so much fun. I loved my look. And I thought it was so different and interesting. I mean, I remember being on set and then being like, all right, this is the vibe. This is the mood. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, okay. Like, no, like, blow kisses or anything? And they're like, no, we're doing this. You know, like, they really went into it. And I was like, oh, this is going to be so cool and so different. I can't wait to see it. So I'm very satisfied with how it all turned out.
Yeah, it's incredible. I have one last question to ask you, which is, what does authenticity mean to you?
It really just means staying true to who you are, you know? And that's something that I have been honored and privileged to do in my work, is stay authentic to who I am and to my people and to my culture and my ways of life. I mean, I don't let this world of fashion and this industry kind of take away from that part of myself. If anything, it adds more to it, you know? It's also beautiful to see that, you know, VS really did stay authentic to different models. I mean, every model stayed true to who they were and they felt good. And every single model that I talked to felt, of course, sexy and felt cute and felt amazing. And so that was the funnest part for me, was me feeling very authentic and into who I am. But I also felt you know, Victoria's Secret authentic, because I still felt like in a way they stayed authentic to who they were, which was being iconic and still bringing out, you know, some of the most iconic models and giving us the show and also giving us this amazing creative space to play with.
Juana, thank you so much for your time. It's been so lovely to learn about you and to get to know you a little bit. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun and I'm so thankful to be here and to have this conversation. So thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to VS Voices, the official companion podcast to the VS World Tour. My thanks to today's guest. And if you love our show, please comment, like, and follow us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And as always, you can join me, Amanda DeCadene, on Instagram. VS Voices is part of Victoria's Secret's ongoing commitment to creating positive change for women. Together, we are amplifying the voices and perspectives of women from all backgrounds. And please remember that sharing stories brings us closer together. Thank you for listening.